some words of Chochmah that we find in the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah in different areas, which of course if one would go through all of the writings and put them all together in a sefer, all the various words of wisdom would be tremendous toyelus, lamaisa. One of the things that Rabbeinu Yonah mentions, we are learning actually Shaar HaTshuvah. The Shaar HaTshuvah again is a, as you see, it takes quite a while to encompass Shaar HaTshuvah. We're still in the middle of Shaar Rishon, but somewhere further in Shaar HaRavi, Rabbeinu Yonah discusses, you know, he gives us some advice regarding the different levels of Averis that we find. Tshuva is not the answer to every Avera, first of all. It's a Beferish Gemara, but the Gebrais in Mesechtes Yuma, there in Daf Pei Vov, where the Gemara discusses, there are Bo Chiluke Kapora. Depending on the level of the Avera, if someone, for example, was a Mechal Shabbos, which means he was over an Avera that carries with it Misas Bezin, or if someone was over an Arayas, you know, the Avera is dealing with serious immoral behaviors. So the Gemara tells us, tshuva is toila but yesura mechaprim, which means that basically from that Gemara it means the tshuva will sort of like carry you over, but ultimately to have a full kapora one needs yesura. That's a little bit of a frightening situation. It means that tshuva therefore would not be enough, and who knows what kind of yesurim what one may have to undergo. So Rabbi Yonah comes along and he says that there are other etzes as well. In others, tshuva tak is not enough. Tshuva is toilet. Tshuva puts sort of like carries you over until, but ultimately it means you're going to have yesurim. Well, tshuva alone will not protect you from yesurim. In order to wipe out fully the avera, you need yesurim. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah in Shaar HaRavi, he says the etzah is that yochin liboy lasa is mitzvahs hamaginos mina yesurim. A person should therefore dedicate himself to do those mitzvahs that have his gula to protect from yesurim. In other words, we find out that there are certain mitzvahs that have a built-in shield to protect you from yesurim. And therefore, if someone was involved in certain averis, where the Gemara tells that tshuva is not enough, but rather you need yesurim, namely averis that encompass, involve mises bezin or krisis chai v'koris, these type of averis, something chometz b'pesach. The Oynish is chorus. No, tshuva will not be enough, but tshuva, toila, and yesurim and markim. So ultimately, you have to find etzes how to protect yourself from yesurim. So Shaar HaTshuvah says that the etzes is to do certain mitzvahs that have a zegula, that have a particular zegula to protect you from yesurim. Namely, k'may mitzvahs atzdokah. One example. Tzedokah, he says, we know that the Pasuk says in Mishnah that tzedokah tatzel mimovis. So if we find a Gemara telling a Pasuk telling us a Mishnah that tzedakah can protect the person from Misa, it's a zgula for long life, then certainly it should have the ability to protect one from Yisurim, which is less than Misa. If tzedakah has the ability, tzedakah tatzel mimovis, so tzedakah can protect the person from Misa. And he says, so what happens if a person cannot afford to do much tzedakah? But can afford it, no fault of his own. He can't gain tzedakah. A little can he gain, but He can't really do significant contributions in tzedakah. So Rabbi Yonah says, well, I'll give you another etzah. A person does not have the money to do tzedakah. Maybe you can put in a good word on behalf of the Yoni for someone who may have the ability to give tzedakah. He says, Yidaber toiv al ho'oni, v'yiloy lepeh. You become his mouthpiece. Levakish ma'cherim lehayti v'imoy. So that's another etzah. So either you give tzedakah on your own, you do tzedakah on your own, and if you can't afford it, then maybe somehow be a melus yosher on his behalf, that somebody else, right, should have the feeling to extend a helping hand to the yoni. But then it goes further. Tzedakah doesn't have to be davke money. This is called gemilz chasodim, doing various acts of chesed. This is all under the same umbrella. It says, v'chein yasag b'mitzvahs gemilz chasodim, lazer es chavera either be'atzmoy v'shtad lusoy, either yourself or through your hishtadlus, carrying out acts of chesed on behalf of someone. As a matter of fact, he quotes a Gemara that says, Gemara Sukkim Memtes, Gedoyle Gimelus Chasodim is even greater than Tzedakah. Because Tzedakah, basically, you give to a poor man. Gimelus Chasodim, acts of chesed, you can do to Ashir, Bein La'aniyim, Bein La'ashir. And Oishir. He gives many examples of that. And Bikur Cholim, he says,
Nichum Aveilim. Yes, Kvuras Mesim. Somebody who's involved in Chevra Kedisha. These are all things. Misameh Chosim Vekala. These are all acts, he says, of Gemilas Chasodim. And they have a Zegula to protect one from Yisurin. It's a very, very important and very, very worthy. And it's a tremendous idea that these are items thereby with which a person can create a shield to protect him from Yisurin. But then he says another inyan. He says there are cases we spoke about, you don't have the ability, you cannot afford to give much tzedakah. But what you can do is say a nice word to the Oni. That everybody can do. And therefore, equally important is that you have a situation where maybe you really can't write out a significant check, or maybe very little, or maybe nothing at all. But if you can give him words of chizik, and maybe give him a glass of water to drink, give him some words of chizik, give him some feeling that he is a person. And memela, that, those words of chizuk, says Rabbeinu Yoina, equally will work for you as if you gave him tzedakah and will protect you from Yisurah. So these are very fascinating, very important things. Loshon of Rabbeinu Yoina is, V'chen yedaber alev ho'oni, v'yechabdeyu, v'yenachameyu, b'menachemim, console him, mitzorosoi. As he points out in Posik. And then finally, says Rabbeinu Yoina, with all of the eitzes that you're looking for, as we said, tzedakah, gemilas chasodim, there's one eitz, he says, which is the ultimate eitzah, he said, and that is Limud HaTorah. It says Limud HaTorah, being that it says, V'salma Torah keneged kulon, so the koich of Torah is, he says, T'togein olov HaTorah min ha-Yisurim, especially, what do you mean, Torah, protects you from Yisurim? There's many ways of learning Torah. You can sit back, you know, on his couch with, you know, different drinks here, different choices. Once he drinks this color, then it's another color, then a third color. But that's one way of learning Torah. Another way of Torah is, as the Mashgiach to say in the yeshiva, he used to always talk about Amelus B'Torah. Amelus B'Torah, sacrificing on behalf of Torah, learning Torah, B'Iyun, concentrated, yes, really toiling in Torah. That's also Yisurin. This effort and the koyach that you put in, maybe getting up an hour earlier for a shir, that's Yisurin. An hour, he sacrificed an hour of sleep. But you know what? The Yisurim that you sacrifice on behalf of Torah, that will protect you from real Yisurim. So I think this, again, is a very, very interesting thing that we have here from Rabbeinu Yoina regarding Eitzes to protect the person from Yisurim in the event that he was over on particular Averis, that Chazal said, you need Yisurim. But yet, Shaar Tshuva suggests there are Eitzes how a person can get around it and create certain shields and barriers to protect them from Yisurim. So, again, this is $1 million worth of information. Okay, so Rabbi Yisrael, let's go now to the Shaar Tshuva. We are Shaar Rishoin, and we are Sif Chof Ches. Shaar Rishoin, Sif Chof Ches. Ben Yoni goes on further, and he talks about, again, in the Ikrim and the principle, we're talking about Baal Tshuva. As remember, we are talking about beyond the fundamentals of tshuva. Because you don't get off the ground with real fundamentals of tshuva, basically three things that we mentioned many, many times. And that is basically the charot al ho'ovar, that a person has charot on the past. It's azivas achet, where a person really stops doing the avera. And kabbal al osid. But beyond that, in order to become the ultimate bal tshuva, v'oid chayiv bal tshuva, he says. In addition to everything, he says, there is a chiyuv hachnoah, because he was talking about before that a exercise of a Baal Tshuva really to work on his hachnoah, his humility. That was something that we mentioned a few times. That Rabbeinu Yoina actually was going on and on about that, the chiyuv of hachnoah. But in this segment, in Sif Chof Ches, Rabbeinu Yoina points out, regarding the chiyuv of hachnoah, he's going to bring out a new aspect. What's the new aspect? The oid chayiv, Baal Tshuva lehikona, means to be machnia, right? To be machnia himself. You should adopt a derech in Achnoah, as it says in the Mishnah in Ovois, the Hevesh Fal Ruach Bifnei Kol Adam, which means, because till now he was talking about Achnoah in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person should realize that he's offered the Efer and should have the attitude of Achnoah standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one aspect of Achnoah. Now the Shaar Tshuva goes on to say that Achnoah is not only between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's also between Kol Odom. The person should have humility and adopt the middle of Anivus and the middle of Achnoah in front of anyone. As the Pasuk says, the Mishnah in Ovos, the Hevesh Fal Ruach, see that you are a man of lowly spirit, meaning an Onov, Bifnei Kol Odom, in front of any person. So that's a Mishnah, by the way. You realize that's a Mishnah in Ovos. So really, it's not related dafke to a Baal Tshuva. Because the Mishnah Novi is not talking about Baal Tshuva. Mishnah is talking about a midah, nechoina, a proper midah, that every Yid should conduct himself that way. When Rabbi Yoina quotes the Mishnah Novi, he says the Baal Tshuva has an extra chiyuv above and beyond that the average person who is not in the process of doing tshuva because, let's say, he was not chayte, which is very rare anyway, but assuming that he took care of his averis, about it, every person has to adopt the midah of Hadesh Fal Ruach, but va'oid chayiv Baal Tshuva. But the Shara Tshuva telling us the Baal Tshuva, besides the regular chiyuv, being that he's in the process of tshuva, that is a separate mechayiv. That's a separate mechayiv that he adopts this derech of hachnoah. And he points out, because hachnoah is meikre hachuva, and therefore the Baal Tshuva has to adopt the bishval ruach bifnei kol odom. Now, when a person is a shval ruach bifnei kol odom, here are the things that it's going to gain, it's going to give to him. When a person is a shval ruach, when a person adopts the mid of humility, v'yasig mizeh, what he will derive from this custom, from this hanhoge, shlo yichas v'lo yakpid al chaveiruv, this will protect him from kas. Kas is a very, very destructive midah. Besides the fact that the Chazal say it is quoted, even though there's no direct member of that, but Rambam does bring it quoted that way. In Gemara and Shabbos, in Bavli, it says slightly different. It says, Kol HaKoreya, or Kol HaShoiver Kli B'chamosoi. Somebody gets so angry and he breaks a Kli, is Kiloi V'Ravoi Dizor. But the underlying factor is that a person loses control. He loses control, he gets angry. So, V'yasik Mizeh, the Baal Tshuva, who is going to be involved with the midah of humility, what he's going to derive from that is going to protect him from kas, v'lo yakpid al chaveirov, and he will not be makpid against his chaveirim. V'gam l'chol advarim ashe yishma al yitein, he says, liboy. He says, he will not take it to heart. He will not take it to heart. So the Baal Tshuva again, so here we have to understand that Baal Tshuva, more than anybody else, kas again is also for anybody. Cast legitimately to be angry. That's one of the things, one of the midos gerois. This is one of the midos rois. But the Baal Tshuva, more than anybody else, has to be extra careful from cast. So Rabbi Ben Yoyin actually is pointing out a lot of the midos which we look at ourselves, we say, hey, this is not dafke Baal Tshuva. To stay away from cast, to abstain from anger, that's everybody's required to do that. But the Baal Tshuva even more. Because the reason is, if we just might remember, or if we do not remember, see, we're learning now Sif Chof Ches. If you go back in Ois Tezayin, there points out in Ois Tezayin or Sif Tezayin, there the Shara Tshuva said at the end of that Sif, Ben Yoina said that if a kas means by definition means that you lose control, a person who is not in control is open to all averis, he says, because then the Yetzirah really has an open field with him. So the Baal Tshuva, who now is on the road back, the Baal Tshuva now, who is involved in being misakin, rectifying, and choosing the right path, and being able to adopt the right path, he has to distance himself from anything that can lead him back to sin. And kas is one of the things that you have open barriers. Kas is something means that you don't have control over yourself, because that's what kas is. That we even say it, losing your temper. You lost it. You're not in control. And if you're not in control, you have no shlit upon yourself. You have no shlit upon yourself. That can bring you to all the averis. That was something Shara Tshuva said above. So here that we're talking about a Baal Tshuva, of how he becomes a successful Baal Tshuva, it's extra especially important, that he does things to protect him from kas. And what is the exit? One of the ways to protect a person from kas is hachnoah. Because usually you get angry, right, when somebody does something against you. The more that you feel that you are wronged, right, the more you take it to heart, of course, you're going to be upset. The more humility they have, the more hachnoah you have, you're able to overlook it. As a matter of fact, as he points out right further, lahavir al midoysov. That is a givaldi yimida, not an easy yimida. To be mavra al medoysa means to overlook injustices. To overlook injustices that have been done to you. Umavir in mizeh, he says, and to be mavir leischapir al avinoysov. Which means to say that through the midah of mavra al medoysa, a person zoicha to kaporis avinus. So this is an amazing thing. Mavra al medoysa avada is a givaldi gemaila. For the Baal Tshuva, it's essential. It's not just a maila. The Baal Tshuva needs to find all ways and the quickest ways and the easiest ways to be able to find kapora for his averis. And therefore, the Baal Tshuva, if you're a Mavra Medoysov, the Gemara says, Kamashomru Zechroinam Levrocha, we find that Chazal have said that a Mavra Medoysov, that a person who is a Mavra Medoysov, that overlooks right injustices, a person who is a Mavra Medoysov, Ma'avirim lo yakol pshat. So then we remove all of his averis. You realize, see, when you look at that chazal, you know, in isolation, as a matter of fact, somebody just that the with Peshav is the third Masoret convention, so a certain Machanach says, so what does it mean? There's a free right, a person did all kinds of averis. So Hamavir al midoysov, so a person, let's say, adopts this midah. He's going to overlook, he's not going to be makpid, somebody did him an avala, he's not going to be makpid, he's going to be moichel. So it says, Ma'avir al kol pshov. So let's say somebody's a Machal Shabbos, he did all kinds of averis, right? So all he has to do is Ma'avir al midoysov, Shabbos can be moichelim. Is that? You realize from this Shari Tshuva, this is in context of the Baal Tshuva. You know, a person was a Baal Tshuva. But you realize the person does Tshuva, but maybe in order to wipe out the past, you can be a tzaddik by being a Baal Tshuva, but there's a cheshbon. You may have to pay off debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding your past behavior. As we just said, sometimes you need Yisurim, sometimes there's other things to wipe out the past for Kapora. So as a Baal Tshuva, to find a quick way for Kapora, Ma'avir al midoysov. So Ma'avir al midoysov means, in addition to being a Baal Tshuva, stop being a Ma'avir al midoysov and not being a Baal Tshuva, continuing to do, living a life of Hefker, I'll be a Ma'avir al midoysov because you won't be Ma'idachul me. Kol Ma'avir al midoysov, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'avirim loy, right, I'll call Pishov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ma'idachulim. No, without being a Baal Tshuva, you don't get nothing for nothing. So Ma'avir al midoysov is a Gevaldig Yemide, but it's a Gevaldig Yemide that works in context. So if a person really wants to do Tshuva, and he wants to effect a proper kapara. So the eight says, by being a Ma'avir al midoysov, this will help you, says the Shaar Tshuva, to remove his averus. Midah keneged midah. What's midah keneged midah? The same way that you are moichel somebody else who does an injustice to you, because your bracha will be moichel you as well. But of course, you have to adopt the way to follow B'derech Hashem, that from now on, at least you're going to commit yourself, that you're going to do the right thing. But to maintain the old lifestyle, and be a Ma'avir al midoysov, because bracha is not going to be moichel you. But if a person that changes his way of life, he adopts a new way of life, it's Kabbalah lo'asi. He makabal upon himself a new derech in life. But how do you erase the past? How do you erase it? Right? One of the ways is that being a Ma'avir al midoysov, Ma'avirim loy, al kol pshov, midah keneged midah. With the midah keneged midah, you are moichel somebody else, you overlooked what somebody else did to you. So midah keneged midah, the Baal Tshuva who adopts this midah, to be Ma'avir al midoysov, Kadosh Baruch Hu will also do the same thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu will overlook against him as well. And he says, and he concludes, and he says that v'zeh pesach tikva. He said that in fact, that this is a pesach tikva, which means that this is a door of hope. Nichbad moi, very important. Shaar Tshuva is telling you, I'm revealing to you, says Shaar Tshuva, a very important door opening to be able to reach your goals quite quickly, and that is by being a Ma'avir al midoysov. So a Baal Tshuva, so in addition to his commitment to Tshuva, is a Ma'avir al midoysov, he overlooks injustices, again, it's a very difficult thing, and he's able to do that, but the reward is tremendously great. The word is that Ma'avirin loy al kol pishov. And he also bases it on the posik. Posik says, V'nemar. Posik says, in Echov, Yitain be'ofar piu, ula yesh tikva. Which means to say is, Yitain be'ofar piu. Which means to say is, that instead of answering somebody back, put offer into your mouth. This is a remez, that's not the actual meaning of the posik in Echov. But Rabbi Yoyne Shaar Tshuva uses that posik to be meramis. Yitain be'ofar piu. Instead of using your mouth and retorting back, right? And going back and hurling back and throwing back all the insults that were thrown to you, giving it back. But yitain be'ofar piu, ula yesh tikva. So they say, that possibly will be a tikva. You'll find a way to erase your bad behavior in the past. Another example, he says, for the yitain l'makeu lechi. If you offer your cheek, he says, Yizba becherpo, and you are filled with cherpo, with shame. So that itself, all these things serve as a kapara, as a mechaper for persons bad behavior. There's an interesting thing that there was a younger man in Bnei Brak, married for many, many years, who, him and his wife were not blessed with children. And they tried many, many ways of being successful, different types of medical attention, and so on, and nothing really worked for them. They went to various rebbes for brachas, and at that time, the Yeshua had not yet come. Yeshua had not come, they were still hoping, anticipating. And they went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky to ask him for a bracha. They married kach v'kach so many years, and they're not yet blessed with children. And they've tried everything, he says, Rebbe, give us a bracha. And Reb Chaim told him at the end, he said, after he thought, he said, you know, instead of asking a bracha from me, says Reb Chaim, instead of asking a bracha from me, he says, go and ask a bracha from a person who has the mid of being a maver al medoysof. A person who was able to really refine his character, that he's a maver al medoysof, he's able to overlook injustices that are done. He is able to absorb, and he doesn't retort back. Eshluk nishtarik. Such a person has a tremendous koyach. We see here, kol amav al medoysof mavirim lo'al kol pshov. Mavirim lo'al kol pshov. We see how great the reward is for someone's amav al medoysof. But Reb Chaim applied it. He says, we see so great the madrega of a person's amav al medoysof. Reb Chaim suggested, try to find the person. So this young man says, so now he says, I have a mission now, a new mission in my life. Go find the person who's amav al medoysof. Point out, ask him, tell me, who do you know? Who's amav al medoysof? So, of course, it's not an easy task at all. And he goes and he starts looking and he goes into a Beis Medrash, starts to ask people, and nobody can point to anybody. He goes to one Beis Medrash to another. No one is able to definitely say, you know, this person or any person that we can clearly say comfortably that he's a Marvel Medoysev. Doesn't find it. So again, he has a heavy heart. Here I have an Eitzah, supposedly. Chaim told me, find a person who's a Marvel Medoysev to give me a bracha. But I can't find such a person. I don't know such a person. So what does he do? Well, Hashgacha has it that he's sitting at a chassid next to a particular person, and someone barges in, a stranger barges in at that chassid, runs over to the person who's sitting next to the Ingerman. Turns out it was a tenant-landlord, sichsuch. The person sitting next to the Ingerman who needed the bracha was the landlord. And it was a tenant who had some avalu, who had some tainess against the landlord, and he started to berate him, mamish in public. He started to be mevazah him, all types of words. They say the common clawless, he said, were Prussian compliments, the kind of thing that everybody used. This is really, which was not had yet been written anywhere up, these kind of clawless, and these times of shameful words and embarrassment and bizyonis. And lo and behold, he says, the landlord does not say a word, does not say a word. And Mamishi could not believe his eyes. The Imam says, oh. He says, look, I just happened to find, by chance, Hashgacha Pratis. I happen to be sitting at a chasana. Don't know this person, never met him before. By the way, there was a whole maisa because of a whole mix-up in seating. There's some detail to this also. That it happened because where he was supposed to be sitting was not occupied. So therefore, the first seat that he found was happened to be at this table next to this person, that also was Hashgacha Pratis. They happened to be sitting. And Ezug Gunish. And he keeps berating him. He doesn't say anything. The person goes out. The tenant goes out. After a had to catch his breath. He thought it was over. No. 10 minutes, he comes back. He starts, you get upset also, people, when you don't answer them back, sometimes they get extra angry. It seems that they're not bothered. It means I didn't do enough yet. So he comes back again, he starts berating him again, he starts being mevazim him again. Call him, oh, it's the same thing. Call up his yoinish yoylem. And just what he sees that the landlord, like he's at the end of his wits, and he sees he's opening his mouth, so the Ingerman says, shah, still don't say anything, I'll tell you later, explain later, don't say anything. Do me a favor, don't say anything. And he didn't say anything. He left and then explained to him. He said, the reason he said, I saw, at least, it appeared that you're finally catching Stolzhalten. You can't hold back, that you have to wherever he returns, you have to say something. So he told him the whole story. Reb Chaim said, I have to find the person Zamar and Midoy. He said, Mamish, I found one. Had you spoken out now, he said, I would have lost you. He said, Kachave. He gave him a broche. Reb Chaim said, take your broche from him. And they had children. It was a fantastic story. Meiser. Again, the koyach of Mavro Medoysev. Kol Mavro Medoysev, Mavirim Loyal Kol Pshov. So before we get back to that, so this sif, what Reb Yonah is telling us, the Baal Tshuva, should be misnaig b'derech hachnoa b'fnei kol odom. It'll prevent him from kas, it'll prevent him from being angry at people, not to be makvid, and allow him to adopt the midah of Mavro Medoysev. This is all, the shayrish of all this is humility. The shayrish of this midah is humility and hachnoa b'fnei kol odom, not only in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But as he says, Havesh Fal Ruach Bifnei Kol Odom, and as a result, this will help him and allow him to bring him closer to be kind of the mid of being a Mavra al Midoysov. Now, said the Shaar Tshuva further, in Sif Choftes, Ho Iker Hashmini, he says. I want you to know, he says, that the Iker Hashmini, he says, what is the eighth principle? What is the eighth principle for the Baal Tshuva? Now he talks about Hachnoa, he says, is B'maiseh. Because till now, humility is an attitude. A person is kind of the mid of humility. It's things what he doesn't do. He does not get angry. He's not makpid. These are passive things. But comes now the Shaar Tshuva says, in addition of anova, is in the passive way, not being makpid, not getting angry. There's also hachnoa b'maise, in an active way. The hainu, so he points out, sheyisnaig b'manerach, that a person should be noig b'manerach means soft-spoken. When you speak, speak softly. This is the derech of an onan. If a person is a big balgaiva, is very loud, shoots off all the time, blows steam. So the hachnoa b'maise is sheyisnaig b'manerach, that you are soft-spoken, kinyan shenemar. There's a Pasuk in Mishle. Pasuk in Mishle says, Mane rach yoshiv chemo. There's wonders about the tone in one speech. Shlomo Melech says in Mishle, Mane rach, a person who replies gently, yoshiv chemo, you can turn away wrath. And we'll talk about it soon. The koyach of mane rach. Soft-spoken has the ability to really to turn away wrath. There could have been anger in a situation in company, but the fact that there is mane rach, there's gentle speech can turn it off. Mamish, it quenches, close, extinguishes. Yoshev chemo, b'koil nomuch, with a low voice. Kizem ederech hashiflus. And that's all part of derech hashiflus. That's all part of achnoa. It's all part of humility. K'mishenemar, the Pasuk says, to show again, koil nomuch, low voice, low speech, not loud. All this is part of the hanhoga of anivus. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'shofalto me'eretz, Tedaberi, the Pasuk says, you will sink down. He says, you will sink down, and from the ground you will speak. Notice what it means is, when a person, it's emotional. If a person is as low as the ground, and he speaks, it appears as the ground is talking. Obviously, the ground can't be talking. But if you're next to the ground, and someone hears a voice coming from down up, it appears to the person that it's the ground speaking. The motion of the Pasuk is that a person should have a mid of shiflus, which gives the impression as if to say that the ground is speaking below you. V'shofalto me'eres tedaberi. V'shofalto means you will sink down, and as a result, me'eres tedaberi, it will appear as if you're speaking from the ground. U'me'ofar tishach imrosech. And your speech, right, will come out of the low dust, will come out of the dust. Which is direct contrast. This manner is in direct contrast to the Balgaiva, which is Behepech Mima Shinema al Ho Oshir Balhagaiva. Interesting, he writes Oshir Balhagaiva. Well, he's going to quote the Pasuk soon. The Pasuk says Oshir Yana Azus. Unfortunately, this is the way. Pasuk Yemisha says that the Oshir speaks brazenly. Eret mit chitzpe. Oshir Yana Azus. So this is one of the aspects. This is Hachnoa B'maise. Hachnoa B'maise is in the form and the manner of his speech. Not loud. Not azuzdik, not chutzpedik, koil nomuch, with der cheretz. What else? What else is hachno b'maise? How you dress. Manner of dress also demonstrates where you're at in your mind. In terms, are you humility? Do you have the mid of humility? Are you a modest person? V'lo yis'asik b'noi ha'malbushim v'tachshitim. A person should not be involved in the noi, in the beauty, right, in the grandeur of malbushim, of clothing, and tachshitim, and all kinds of jewelries. K'mo shenema, the Pasuk says, Va'ato hoyred edyech me'olecho. And now the Eden, because after the Chet Ha'egel, they had these ornaments that they were given, spiritual ornaments, like Kabbalah Satayra, Ksarim, the crowns. But after the Chet Ha'egel, they lost it. They had to remove their jewelry. Because of the Chet Ha'egel, they lost it. Va'ato hoyred edyech me'olecho, says the Pasuk. And what the Shachuvet is teaching, is learning pshat. Why? That's part of the tshuva process. In other words, the yidin were choyte be'egel. The yidin were choyte be'egel. So what do we find after the egel? Remove your ornaments. Remove your jewelry. Why? Because that's the process of tshuva. So again, so this is what that's why he's using that as an indication that that's all part of the ikrim, of the principles, midarkei tshuva. Midarkei tshuva is, again, not to be oisik b'noi hamalbushim. That's all part of the hachnoa process. As we find after the Chet Ha'egel in Parshas Kisiso. Remove your ornaments. And also we find the Nemra Be'achov. Achov Arosha. Because of his sins. The Pasuk comes out and says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of that you are going to have to suffer. You're going to die. You're going to suffer a lot of Yisurim. When Achov heard that the future, which is in store for him, is going to be very painful, it was Mo'er him to Tshuva. What do we find? The practice of Achov. Achov of Russia. And we find, what did he do in order to be able to bring out a tshuva, to solicit a tshuva. So the pasuk says a malachim. It says, the pasuk says, the yotzoi, which talks about that he fasted, vayishkav besak, and he slept in sackcloth. That's how he slept. He slept in sackcloth. He says, vayahalech at, and he walked slowly. So again, the mannerism of a person's appearance is also part of the tshuva process. It's not just what's in his mind. It's not just in his hashkofe, but his true hashkofe, to demonstrate the true hashkofe. This is the practices that he has to implement within his life. It's a life of humility, demonstration of humility. The Yom HaShem Yisborach HaZeh, the Chizbach who saw the practice of Achav, his turnaround, what does Hashem respond? The Potzik says in Malachim, Chizbach who says, he says, Haro'iso ki nichna Achav. He says, I see that Achav was nichna. That in fact that he did become subordinate to me. He was machni himself to me. He becomes mishabed himself to me. He did lower himself to me, said Kajbach. Kajbach took that manner. But this is the practice. This is the practice of humility in Achnoah. And he points out further that the inyan vayihalach at, when the Pasuk also mentions walking slowly. What does it mean walking slowly? Well, Siddishar Tshuva, this is the opposite as we find. What it means walking slowly doesn't actually mean mamish the word slowly. Slowly, a little faster, a little slower. The main kavana is in contrast, behepech, mederach hamalochim. There's in contrast from the way that we find by kings, she'mahalchim berov chayil v'koil hamula. Kings walk with great, right, with tumultuousness, with a great tumult. There's noise around them, the entourage. La'at means, you know, to be inconspicuous. Don't make any noise, quiet, you're going and coming. Nobody has to be aware that you're here, you're not here. The idea is that you don't draw attention to yourself. That's what it means, v'yahalech at. When it says by Achav that that's what he did, that's in contrast from Derech HaMalochim, that they come with great armies and so on and so forth, with their entourages, with all the covet around them. Furthermore, says the Shaar Tshuva, what else in practice of Achnoah? So far he said, manarach, soft-spoken, right? Then he said also he speaks malbushim, the type of clothes that one wears, not flashy clothing. What is the third inyan of Achnoah? Well, the Yutomid, he says, einov shachos, his eyes of a person speak words. Shachos means lowering your eyes. It's a type of behavior we can see in your eyes. Is that humility in your eyes? The way a person looks at things, his attitude. V'yi utomid ein of shachos, he says, kinyin shenemar. As we find, as the Pasuk says, v'shach einayim, says the Pasuk in Yev, yoishia. A person who has lowly eyes. Again, lowly eyes means that a person is not focusing, right, high up, but he's looking down lower. He's looking lower. And this is his behavior. This is Achnoah. So v'simona Achnoah. And therefore he says, these simonim, if you adopt these simonim that I've just told you, again, which simonim? Kemoi. He repeats, manerach, soft-spoken, v'koil hanomuch, low voice, v'shochis hawayin, referring to, again, lowering the eyes. He says, yaskiruhu lahachnias liboi. They also will bring him. These mannerisms will bring him to Achnoas Halev. In other words, you know, as we say many times, the Mefarshim talk about, you, when you have Tanesim during the year, you have some Gedalia, and you have Shavuos Betamis, you have Tisha B'Av. The fasting is not the Iker. Fasting on Tisha B'Av, that's not basically what Hashem wants. Fasting on Shavuos Betamis is the tshuva process through the fasting. The fasting is only to be ma'oireh you. The fasting is only a chelik of your behavior to bring you. It's a means to an end. It's not an end unto itself. That people can fast on Tisha B'Av or can fast on Shabbatamis, but you know what? They have no shaykhis to Churim Beis HaMikdash. He's just not eating. That's all. But everything else he's doing throughout the day has nothing to do with Hargoshes Avelis. You missed the point. The idea is abstaining from food, that's not the tachlis. That is not what we're looking for. That is only a hechsher. This is to make it easier to be me'oir you. The Pasuk says, as they all quote, Vayarish Hashem, it says by Ninveh. It's Vayarish Hashem is Maseim. It doesn't say Vayarish Hashem is Tanisom. They fasted. But it doesn't say when the Anshin Ninveh, when they fasted, we send them after Yoinah. When the Anshin Ninveh, when they did Tshuva, they fasted. It says Vayarish Hashem, it says es Maseim. Hashem saw their deeds. It doesn't say their fasting. Because the fasting is not what we're looking for. Fasting is only hisayris to bring a person to hachnoas halev. Same thing we say, humility aher, humility ahin. We're saying humility, manerach, soft-spoken. But all of that is really to bring your heart in the right place. To place the heart, that the heart should find itself in the mokim where it is supposed to be. So, okay, Rabbi Yisai. So, Kaparim, so we started here again, in the Sif Chof Ches, again as we started. Ben Yoyne said that the Oid Chayiv Balachuv, again, let's look back for a moment. The Ikona, in order to, right, to lower himself, and to Misnayig Al Derech, as it says the Mishnah Novos, the Hevish Fal Ruach Bifnei Kol Adam, that he should be, right, should adapt and be an on of in front of anybody. The Yasig Mezeh, and that will help him Shloichas, not to come to Kas. And as we pointed out about Balchuva more than anybody else, has to be careful not to fall into the mid of Kas. Had to fall, just very quickly, just to tell you the Lashon that the Shaar Tshuva says way back regarding Kas, just 3-4 words. Reben Yoni says over there, Ubal Hakas Olul Lipshoim Umufkar Lenezokim. That's the Lashon of Reben Yoni, back there in Sif Tezayin. That somebody who's about Kas, he's Olul, which he's prone to do Averis, and he's Mufkar, like he's a matzav of Hefker. It's open season on him. Again, because we said he has no Shlita over himself. Well, it's Kedai, just to mention. We know that the Ramban, which is very famous, which is the Igeris Ramban. Ramban, of course, you know, who lived in Spain. Ramban lived in Girona. That's the same city that Rabbeinu Yoyne Shaar Tshuva lived there originally. Until Rabbeinu Yoyne, right, made up his mind and was machlid, decided that he's going to leave Spain altogether to go to Eretz Yisrael, as we mentioned already. His main kavanah was to be able to Eretz Yisrael to ask mechila from the Rambam, because he was also, like his Rebbe, Reb Shloimeh Menahar, one of the fiercest opponents against the Rambam, and literally berated the Rambam and said very things that today to our ears would be very difficult to hear, this kind of lishoinus. But at that time, Rambam had a lot of opponents, due to the Sefer also Marin Nevoichim, the philosophical writings of the Rambam and so on and so forth, and which was not accepted at that time, certainly by his peer, many of his peers did not accept it. But Rabbeinu Yoyne later on had Charotah and felt he has to do tshuva. The only way to do tshuva is to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the cave of Rambam with a minyan and to ask Mechila. As a matter of fact, we once mentioned that there's a Yeshua, I remember, please, there's a legend of that kind, that the whole Sefer Shaar Tshuva, which Rabbeinu Yoyne decided to write a Sefer about how to do proper tshuva, was motivated with the fact that he felt that he has to do tshuva, and the fact that he was Mavaza the Rambam, and therefore to make good on it, the ultimate good is, of course, is to write a Sefer which will be more than the entire world, to bring them to tshuva. This will help him in his own situation as well. This part is, as I say, part of a legend that is said, that the Sefer Shaar Tshuva is a result of that. But be as it may, so Rabbeinu Yonah lived in Girona, the Ebenezer lived in Girona at one time. As we said, the Ramban lived there, and due to the very famous debates that was between the Ramban and then was King James in Barcelona with the Mishumet, his name was Pablo Cristiani, was his name, a big Mishumet, and who insisted that the Torah, of course, there's a lot of things against Christianity and so on. Also, he can prove a lot of inconsistencies, because he was a shtickle knowledge he had. He was a Jew originally. And, I mean, he was always a Jew. Actually, he's always a Jew. You can't abandon your religion. You can act as if you're not Jewish. But Akoponim, I mean, he was a Mishumet. And so there was these debates, which lasted a number of days. And the Ramban recorded all of the questions and the answers that he gave. And the Sefer, it's called Vikuach HaRamban, and was also published by Rabbi Chevel. You know, there is the small booklets which translated from the Lashon Kodesh. The Goyim, of course, would not concede that they had lost the debate, and Shkepas Velazachim, but the king did. The king said, one of the things is that the king said at the time, when hearing all the answers that Ramban gave to all the questions, as a matter of fact, not only gave answers, but one of the conditions was that he cannot do anything to denigrate the Christian religion. That was the tie. You know, so his hand was tied on the one hand. In other words, they're allowed to, right, to hurl all the accusations against the Jewish religion and to try to prove the Torah is not being authentic. So the most that he can do is defend the Torah. But if he had anything to disprove the Christian religion, he was not allowed to do that. That he was not allowed to do. Just to defend at least his side. But anyway, he defended it with such strength and with such power that the king said, I never saw anybody be so wrong and say things to seem so right. That's what he said. This is a quote that the king said. Could admit that he was really right, but how can someone be so wrong and say, make it appear like he's so right? This is what the king said at the time. And it is said that he felt it would not be safe to remain there anyway. You know, if you lose the debate, so you lost, your life is in danger. If you win the debate, it's also not good. You won, so now it's a bush against the side that lost, which is that. So he felt that he has to, and he was oiled to Eretz Yisrael, which is a story upon himself. But anyway, from Eretz Yisrael, he wrote a letter back to the family. That's called the Igeres Ramban. That's how we have the letter that Ramban wrote to his son. It was about all the Midos Toivos, he said, that a Yid should adopt. And he writes to his son. He says, if you read this letter, he says, whenever you are, he says, you're going to be in trouble. If you read this letter every day, once a day, he says, you'll see that this is going to save you, and it's going to spare you and deliver you from all of your tzaras. So, the Ramban says, in one of the things that he points out over there, he talks about Tinotzel Min Akas. And Ramban says to his son, just quote to you, he says, which is the Pasuk in Koheles, Al Tevahel Beruchacho Lichois. The Pasuk in Koheles says, don't be hastily upset. Some people get angry, right? Just at the tip of a hat. In a moment, very quickly they get angry. So the Pasuk says in Koheles, says, Al Tevahel Beruchacho Lichois. Don't be hastily upset. And the Pasuk says in Koheles, Ki kas becheik kesilim yonuach. Because anger lingers in the bosom of the foolish people. Notice, foolish people have anger, right, within them. That's where the anger lingers. So, Al Tevahel Beruchach Olichois. Be careful not to become upset hastily. So, it means that a person can't conquer anger, therefore, without wisdom. Because he says, Ramban clearly says, that where do you find anger? You find that, he says, in the bosom of the foolish. Which means, in order to conquer anger, you have to make sure that you're not really too foolish. To conquer anger requires wisdom. And therefore we find that in various forms throughout the ages, you find that great forms that they offered various practical techniques to be able to maintain self-control. Let me just mention to you just a few select items. That's the Sefer, of course, Reishis Chochma, one of course, a very choshev Sefer, a great Baal Mekubal, of course, Belio Dividash, who lived many centuries ago. And the Sefer Reishis Chochma writes the following. He says, one of the ways, he says, if a person finds it very difficult to conquer anger, you know what he says? One of the aids is to penalize yourself. Set aside, he said, a certain sum of money. How much? Just enough that you don't want to lose that amount. If $20 means a lot to you, let it be $20. If $25, let it be $25. Which means that whenever you lose your temper, those $25 go to tzedakah. So says Reishis Chochma. A person who sets aside this type of a technique, you set aside money that you're going to give away if you allow yourself to be angered. It didn't say dafka to tzedakah, by the way. Assuming, you know, for tzedakah, misalman. But you're going to have to give it away. You're not going to be able to keep it. Set aside a certain amount of money, says Reishis Chochma, that if you should get angry, you're going to give it away. And he says, Yitzhak says, make sure that the amount that you designate is sufficient to force you to think twice before you lose your temper. It's going to be a half a dollar, you're not going to be worried about it. But it has to be an amount that is sufficient enough within your mind. Right? It's going to be enough. Similar situation, by the way, it is said about the stipler. Those days, you know, before all the information came out, it was very common. Everybody smoked. Rabbanim smoked, Rosh Yeshiva smoked. Everybody might remember I had a Rosh Yeshiva here and there. You used to smoke in those days. Common thing. People used to smoke. Rebbes used to smoke. Many of them. Okay, some rebbes were said had hechera kavunas, you know, in the smoking. But whatever it was, smoking. Used to smoke. The stipler used to smoke. And then he wanted to stop smoking. But there you develop a kind of an addiction, whatever it is. So he made a certain condition with himself, similar to the Reishis Chochma condition. But instead of money, giving away money, he made the following condition with himself, sort of like a neder b'li neder. He said, whenever, he says, I want to light up a cigarette, I should not be allowed to do it unless I first learn two blatim mesechtes nedarim. That was his thing. Which means that before I'm allowing myself to light up, if I have an urge to light up, I first have to learn two blat. First I have to learn two blatim mesechtes nedarim. So Stipler used to say, jokingly used to say, people used to think I'm such a maspid, they don't realize I like to smoke, he says. I had to learn, otherwise I wouldn't be allowed to smoke. So anyway, this is the etza that the Shari Tshuva brings. And then he says, Reishis Chochma. Then he says another thing. He says, if someone really angered you, if somebody enraged you, he says, if somebody enrages you, so try to avoid looking him in the eye while your anger is still intense. He says, try to look away, because in this way, it'll be much easier to control your rage. So points out the Rishis Chochma. And then he says another thing. He brings down, there's a posik that says, Seichel Odom Herich Apoy. It's a man's good sense, a posik in Mishle. Seichel Odom Herich Apoy. It's the seichel of a person, it's the seichel of a person, by the way, it's Perik Yutes in Mishle. Seichel Odom Herich Apoy. It's a man's good sense to be slow to anger. So says the posik. So interesting, the Meiri, you know, who we are fortunate, when I say in our time, it was years ago that the Chidushe HaMeiri, one of the great Rishonim of Provence, we didn't have all of the Meiri, certainly to the extent which covers many, many, or one can say Raif Shas, but we had isolated Svarim of the Meiri, who is one of the great Rishonim, one of the great Mefarshim, because he brings down not only his own opinions, but he brings down Rambam, Rashi, and all the various great opinions of Mefarshim in all areas. Brings the Ravid, and brings from, I say, from right to left, all different, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, doesn't make a difference. He brings them all together, and any piece of Gemara, he brings down the various Perushim. And Taimach Sam Sofer, there was a Miri here, a Miri there. But as time went along, you know, when manuscripts were found, and manuscripts were worked on by scholars, Talmid HaChachamim, and they were published, so, you know, you have, what is it, 15, 20 volumes of Miri, whatever what it is. And among that is also Miri HaMasechtes Ovis, and there's also Miri Sefer HaMidos. Sefer HaMidos of the Miri. So Miri tells the following story. He says that there was a righteous king, an Elohi king. There was a righteous king who had, he said, one major fault. And that was he angered very easily. He brings out that he was really a tzaddik b'chol derochav. And everything else, in every way, he was a melech who was a tzaddik. But he had one major fault. This was his thing. This was his low point that he angered quite easily. So to overcome, the Miri writes, so to overcome the tendency to get angry, he says, he wrote three lines on a sheet of paper, and he appointed one of his servants. He appointed one of his servants, says, to show it to him whenever he started to grow angry. And here, basically, Rabbi Isai, comes out like this. The first line read as follows. Always remember that you are merely a creature, not the creator. In other words, you were created, but you're not the creator. That's one thing. That's the first line. You are a nivra, not a boire. You're not the boire olam. You're a nivra. You were created. You're a creature. You're not the creator. Then he wrote, on the second line, always remember that you are flesh and blood and will eventually perish. So whatever you're thinking about, you're not going to last forever anyway. Realize your limitations, your whole life existence, how temporary it is. Actually, he writes even more. He just didn't want to say it, but basically what he says is, he says, you're going to perish, he says, and be eaten by the rim of Isaleo, he says, by all the good natured creatures which are in the ground. And then he goes further and he says, the final line, he says, and always remember, he says, writes the Miri, this is what the king had on the third line, to help him control his anger, that always remember that there will only be mercy for you in the future, only if you have mercy on others. So the way that you treat others, that is the way that you are going to be treated in the future. So these are the three lines, writes the Miri, that this particular king, this is what he took upon himself. So it's interesting to say is that the Chofetz Chaim, of course, if we talk about various people who we think about are the models of Midos, Chofetz Chaim used to say that nobody realizes how hard it was for him to work on the various Midos that we look at the Chofetz Chaim being so, we look at man of perfection, was not born that way. We think, oh, yeah, it was a Chofetz Chaim. Nobody except the Chofetz Chaim really knows the great extent and the effort that he put in order to attain these midos and these qualities. And the truth is, a Talmud, it's written up in a number of Svarim, that a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim once hid under a bench in Shul, he says, hoping to observe the Chofetz Chaim's conduct at night. There was nobody there. Chofetz Chaim at least thought nobody was there. And the Talmud pushed it, hid under a bench to see where the Chofetz Chaim, how he's knowing at night. When midnight approached, he saw the Chofetz Chaim going over to the Aron Kodesh, and he opens up the Aron Kodesh, and he's mispal to Kodesh Baruch Hu, please help me, he says, overcome feelings of anger. Chofetz Chaim. So, these midos are not so easy to come by. So whenever we learn about these things, and we say to ourselves how difficult they are, yes, they are difficult, but realize no one really had it easy. But all of the great people who, in fact, were successful, right, in attaining what we view close to perfection of other those people is because they really toiled at it and they worked at it. As a matter of fact, Moshe Feinstein was known, Avada, for his pleasant demeanor. It goes without saying, anybody who had the schus to know him. It was soft. I can just tell you myself, a situation, I believe it was in 1973. My first sefer was published in 1974. In order to get it published, of course, you go to Gedol Yisrael for Haskomis. So, I went to Ramoshe for Haskomis. My plan was to go to Eretz Yisrael. We had plans to go to Eretz Yisrael after that. It was during the summertime. And to get also Haskomis from Gedol Eretz Yisrael at the time. 1974, you had a lot of Gedol Yisrael, you know, were still alive at the time. I had in mind of Chaim Shmulevich of Mir, Cheskel Avramsky, and so on and so forth. Rav Shlomo Zalman, of course, which I did get. David Jungreis was still alive, one of the great Gedol Yisrael from the Badatz, from the Eid Achredis, and so on and so forth. So the plan was to go to Eretz Yisrael after that. So I go to Rav Moshe. I bring a kama with a petal of ksavim. So Moshe takes me into the room. He takes me into where he has the swarm shrunk. And the bottom of the swarm shrunk was like, sort of like drawers. And he opens up the drawers and says, look what you see here. And I see peklach of ksavim, piles of ksavim. He says, these are not my ksavim. These are machabrim from all over the world, authors, potential authors. I mean authors, who sent me svarim for askoma. I didn't have the time to get to them. So they don't live here. They don't live here on location. So they mailed it to me. It wouldn't be fair, he says to me, because you happen to live in New York and walk through my door, that I should give you first before them. With the time attack. And I had the opportunity to barge in, but they already sent their stuff. And he didn't have time, he didn't manage yet to look through their ksavim. And here I happen to live here, so I walk in, I'm able to walk in. So he says, I wouldn't think that I should have a din kadima because I happen to live in New York. But Moshe was very soft. I said to him, Moshe, listen, Rosh Hashir. He said, from here, my next step is to go to Eretz Yisrael. And it was a young man still in Koil at the time. I said, if I go to Eretz Yisrael for Haskomis, they can say, you're coming from America, we don't know who you are. You don't have Haskomis from Moshe, I expect us to give you. If you're in America, you're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Well, why don't you take from someone in America? So I told him, Moshe, I need your Haskomis because without that, I won't get anything else. He was so soft, he said, okay, he says, leave it here. He said, come back in 2 days in Kachavi. I remember it was a Thursday, he told me to come back on Monday. He had it written out. This again, this is the nature of the person. You've got him in the right soft spot, you can almost accomplish anything with him. So this was Ramoshe. So I just want to mention that he also said, Bechalal, in general thing, a Talmud asked him about middos and character, and he said, Ramoshe clearly said, he says, I work very hard to attain the qualities, he said, of these middos. So I want to tell you a very small incident that happened shortly after World War II, Schulzinger Brothers Publishing Company published a very beautiful edition of Shas. It's called the Schulzinger Shas, which after World War II, that was considered to be like, that was the Shas, maybe the Chosin Shas. That was the Shas, Schulzinger Brothers Shas. You can still find volumes around, because so many Shas have been printed since then, but you can still find in old libraries or people still who may have it. So the Schulzinger Brothers Shas, which at that time was considered the most beautiful Shas, that was the Shas to get. If you could afford it, you can buy it. That was the Shas to get. And it turns out that Ramoshe was also among the first to buy a set of these expensive volumes of that particular Shas. So while he was using one of these volumes of a particular Masechta, so he momentarily left the room. He had been using a dip pen and a bottle of ink. So while he was away, a Talmud unintentionally knocked over the bottle, spilling black ink all over the page. So Ramoshe walked in, and he sees the Talmud, mamish, filled with shame, and mamish wanted to bury himself to see what he did. And Ramoshe said to him, he said, the Gemara looks beautiful with the new added color, he says, that has been added, he says, to this page, he says. He says, don't worry, he said, we can still continue to learn. So again, this is just the indications, again, what the Shari Tshuv is talking about, and working on oneself and adopt these middos. Interesting thing is that the Sfas Emes, of course, of Ger, Sfas Emes, once when he traveled outside of his location, and many Hasidim followed to escort him, to the train station or to the wagon that he traveled with. So when they came close to the point of departure, The Chassidim, one of the Chassidim went over to the Rebbe, to the Sfas Emes, and said, maybe you leave us with the Shtikel Dvar Toyer. Maybe with the word Dvar Toyer. Al Yifter Adem Chaveiro Elim Atoich Dvar Halocha. So maybe you leave us with the Shtikel Dvar Halocha. So the Rebbe says to him, he says, as the train was approaching, so the Rebbe says to him, he says, do you know why a locomotive has the power to pull so many cars behind it? Because it keeps all of its steam inside, he said. He says, this is something to remember. The koyach of a person, how much koyach you have, because it does not lose its steam. Its steam is used advisedly. It says positive energy. That is the koyach that it has. One of the interesting things is that the Havas Yisrael of Vishnus, which means the Zaydev and the Hantik of Vishnus Rebbe, the two Vishnus Rebbe, one in Muncie and one in Bnei Brak. So the Zaydev was the Havas Yisrael, the father of Reb Chaim Meyer. So during the baking of matzahs, not only Rebbe's, people are very makpid. The Grosse Yidin are very makpid. When you bake matzahs, you know, for any chashash chometz, any smallest chashash of chometz, baking the matzahs, matzahs mitzvah. So the Rebbe had his chabura, baking the matzahs. There happened to be a particular chusid that noticed that one of the people involved in the baking of the matzahs was negligent. He was negligent, he was not doing his job. So to mungishring, he really got angry at him. To mavazig event, to fashem. Really full of anger and a fury, fear of anger. And the Rebbe said of him, the Rebbe didn't know what happened. The Rebbe says to him, why did you get so angry at him? So he says, what do you mean? Chometz! Chometz is b'mashu! Even a mashu of chometz! And the Rebbe said, believe me, he said, that a mashu of kas is worse than a mashu of chometz. So you have to realize, you know, which mashu who is worse. So Kaponim, this is what the Shaar Tshuva is telling us. These are the midos that to work of. And this is essential for the Baal Tshuva. This is not a luxury. And Rez Hashem, if we work on these midos, we'll go a little bit step closer to reaching at least another notch in our level of perfection, and our maisim will be ritzuyim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu.